Lord, we commit these children into your hands, Father God. Lord, you see the future. You see your plans and purposes for their lives. And we ask for a special hand of God to be upon these children, for the love of God to be in the families, and for the mothers to have the peace of God, the love of God, and the joy of God increase in their hearts. So even today, Lord God, bring blessing, bring breakthrough. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Going to be sharing from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet called of God to be one of God's messengers. And from Isaiah 59, I'll just read two verses, then I'll explain what they mean so that we have good understanding. It says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Okay, first of all, it's talking about how great and how mighty God is. God is glorious. He's powerful. And he can easily save us. He can easily deliver us. He can heal us. Jesus Christ is the healer. Wherever Jesus went, he did healing miracles. Jesus cast out evil spirits. He set people free. And Jesus saved people when they opened their hearts to him. And another thing Jesus has done is he has sent the Holy Spirit so that we can receive the power of God. So God is a miracle-working God. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So first of all, we have to see how powerful God is. Our God is the creator of the universe, and he created everything just by speaking. Whatever God says happens. So when God speaks blessing over your life, over your child, that blessing is real. That power is real. So many times in the early Christian church, when they had prayer meetings, they were praying, "God, stretch out your hand to do miracles." And that's what we also have to pray today and pray for Fiji. "God, once again, stretch out your hand to do mighty miracles in this nation." So God says, "My hand is not too short that it cannot save." No, God can save us. And then he says that his ears are not too dull to hear. We have to know that God is watching us all the time. He is not blind or he is not deaf. God, he never sleeps. He is watching us all the time. So as we open our hearts to God, as we open the eyes of our heart to God, we are able to see that God is watching us even right at this moment. So let's think of that. Right now, Father God, you are watching me. God, you are watching us. God, your eyes are upon us. And there's a Bible promise that it says that the eyes of God are looking throughout the world, throughout the nations. Doesn't matter which nation you're from. I'm from New Zealand. But God is looking through all the nations, looking for the people that he can strengthen, the people that find favor in his sight. That is the people who open their hearts to him and seek to receive from him. Because the Bible says that God is near to all who call upon him. So when we draw near to God, God draws near to us. So that's why even right at this moment, God can draw nearer to us. So I want you to think as you, in your heart, you call out to God, he is close to you. He is near to you. So that's why it says that his ears are not deaf. No, he listens. But then in the second verse, we do have the problem. The problem which separates us from God. And it says your iniquities, which is your sins. Your sins separate you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So there is a time when God decides, oh, I don't want to listen to that person because they are evil. And God says, no, I won't listen to their prayers. So that is, of course, a very terrible position to be in when God says, no, I don't want to listen to your prayers. So we want to solve this problem, overcome this problem, so that we know that God is listening to us when we pray to Him. And that's why there are certain issues or things that need to take place in our heart so that our heart is open to God. There are certain barriers that can come into people's lives. You know, even just before coming here today, I was sitting on those seats beside the river down the... Which direction are we? Yes, down that direction. So I was sitting there. The first person who came to sit beside me, he had 2 bottles of beer. And I mentioned to him, actually that was the second time I had seen him, and the first time I saw him I had given him a gospel DVD, which was of a healing crusade and a powerful salvation message. And he had watched that DVD, so he was asking me questions about it. So I was asking him, well, God has spoken to you, why are you still choosing to follow beer? And he was saying, oh, it's too hard to give up. Well, I said, the reason it's hard to give up is because the devil's power is on your life, binding you to that sin. But Jesus Christ, He came to set people free. Doesn't matter if your sin is big or small, Jesus can set you free. But you have to have a willing heart. You have to have a willing heart. First of all, you have to see that getting drunk, he was also smoking drugs. You have to see that those things are a sin. And he said to me, oh, marijuana is just the plant that grows. Well, I said to him, when Adam and Eve sinned, God actually cursed the ground. God cursed the ground. So you have to have discernment, what is good, what is evil. Because there are things in, you know, when God first created this world, he made everything good. But it is not now. Now there are so many bad things that are under that curse of death. So he was making an excuse for his sin instead of being willing to turn away and open his heart to God and let God change his life. So in fact, he was unwilling to confess his sin and ask God to save him, ask God to deliver him. So if a person is unwilling to come to God, God has to leave them on the wrong path. So what I said to him was, look at that river of water. Very nice river of water. Now I want you to imagine that that water is fire. Imagine if it was fire, like a volcano erupts and this lava pours out a burning fire. Because the Bible says if your name is not written in the book of life, that is God's book of salvation. If your name is not written in that book, you are thrown into the lake of fire. Now, if you imagine that that water was fire, and this beer that you are holding in your hand is going to make you, it's going to be like a weight that plunges you into that river of fire. Isn't it better to throw away that beer and be free? To be set free? But the problem is, many people, they don't have a true fear of God. Jesus said, do not be afraid of man who can kill your body, but fear him who has the power to cast your soul into hell. So we should shake and tremble if we are holding on to a sin that's going to plunge us into that river of fire. No, better to throw it away. He did not want to throw away his beer. He just wanted to hold on to it. And that's why his sin is separating him from God. Okay, I didn't want to stay sitting with him as he was continuing to drink. Jesus, he is a friend of sinners, but he doesn't come to enjoy their sin. He comes to change their life. He comes to save them. But he did not want to change. So sometimes Jesus has to walk away from people. He has to walk away from them because they don't want to change. Okay, so I walked away, walked around town a little bit, still had some time to fill in before coming here at 12:30. A good place to sit again is on those seats. So I went back and sat on the seat a second time. And the second time, a lady, well, she was a young lady, came and sat in the same place. So I gave her some of my Bible tracts, some Bible messages. So I asked her, do you go to any church? And she said, no, but my family is Catholic, but I don't really go to church. So I said to her, you know, tried to encourage her, why is she not getting closer to God? Are you close to God? And she kind of said, no, I'm not close to God. So I decided, well, I tried to ask her, why are you not close to God? If I had time to talk to you all individually, I would seek to find out the problem. Because once you know the problem, you can give God's answer. Jesus Christ is filled with wisdom. Whenever Jesus spoke, the people were amazed by the wisdom that Jesus spoke. So Jesus actually has the right answer for every person. And that answer can be different. Maybe for you, it's a different answer than for you, what you need. Jesus knows what different people need. So Jesus knows what you need in your life, and Jesus would speak the right kind of wisdom into your life. So I asked her, well, have you forgiven everyone? Is there anyone you need to forgive? This is an important principle for opening up our heart to God, because God said, if we don't forgive other people, then God doesn't forgive us of our sins. So if we want God to forgive us, Jesus said we have to love our enemies. Oh, that's very hard. You know, the people of the world will say, get revenge on my enemy, hate your enemy. No, but God says, love your enemy. See, God's love is greater than the ways of the world. When we realize we want salvation from God, we have to say, oh God, I forgive that person. Maybe they spoke a wrong word to me. Maybe they did something very bad. But if you don't forgive them, it's like you're in bondage to that person, or you're holding on to that person's sin. You're holding on to how they sinned against you. But you have to let go of that sin through the love of God and through the forgiveness of God. That's why even when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, many people were still mocking Jesus, shouting at Jesus. They had hatred. The Bible calls it the hour of darkness. Yet Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. They were the ones who nailed the nails through his hands and feet. They whipped his back, crown of thorns was on his head. They pulled his body, spat at him, and he prayed, God, forgive them. So that's the same kind of attitude we also need towards our enemies. Okay, so ask God to give you the grace to love your enemies, then you will be a child of God. See, the way of the devil is different, or the way of the world is different, but the way of God is perfect and wise. So you let go of that person's sin. You let go and you forgive. And then the peace of God comes into your heart because God forgives you and God saves you. Well, she said that she didn't have any unforgiveness problems. So she felt that she was all right with that. So I asked her the second question. Well, how is your relationship with your mother and father? Problems come into families when there is broken relationships and all kinds of difficulties. But we have to honor our mother and father, and also parents have to have the love of God for their children. So it's very important, even as you're having newborn babies, that you have the special love of God for your child, that the love of God will be in your family. And it's also us as children to have the responsibility to honor and love our parents. She did have some small difficulties in her relationship with her mother. It sounded as if her father was not living there. I didn't ask all the details, but I just encouraged her just to have God's love in her heart over those situations. Okay, first of all, she sort of said that everything was all right, but gradually the problem came out. Okay, so then I continued asking, trying to find out any other barriers in her heart. And it sort of came to the point where I realized she did mention that she was having some loneliness in her life. So I said, well, if you're having loneliness, then you really need to know God as your friend. You need to accept God as your friend. But she kept mentioning that there was, you know, when I asked her if she had taken Jesus as her savior, she kept saying no. So there was still a slight barrier in her heart. I was still trying to find out what is blocking her from receiving the assurance of salvation. So I came to the conclusion was that, you know, she had to make a decision of her will that I am going to be the friend of God. I am going to accept salvation in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins. Of course, she knows that message. Everyone in Fiji knows that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. But she actually had to accept it or put her faith in it or make it real for her. Make it real for her. So I wanted to share a Bible verse with her, which is good at explaining how we come to salvation. And it's from John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. And it's talking about Jesus when Jesus was in the world. Even though this whole world was created through him, God created this world through Jesus Christ. But the world did not recognize him. They did not receive Jesus as their creator. It must have been hard, because if you just looked from the natural point of view, you just saw Jesus, a carpenter, son of Joseph and Mary. But Jesus did miracles to show his divine nature. So people, when they saw Jesus healing the people everywhere, and big crowds, even up to 5,000 men with children and women, and he did the multiplying the food so all of them were fed. And Jesus said to them many times, put your faith in the miracles, because they are showing who Jesus is, showing that he has the power. When he went to the tomb of a dead man, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Then he rose that man from the dead to prove who he was. So every miracle that Jesus was doing was to show the people that he is divine and show the people his glory. Some accepted, some did not accept. So it says that many people did not recognize him. So even many people who saw Jesus do miracles still turned away from Jesus. They did not recognize him. He came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. Then we have this beautiful promise. Yet to all who receive Jesus Christ, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, there was a man called Thomas who didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. And Jesus appeared to the other disciples. They didn't believe it to begin with. But when they saw Jesus, they went and told Thomas. And Thomas said, no, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and the spear mark in Jesus' side, I won't believe in Jesus, that he is alive. So exactly 1 week later, the disciples were met together, the doors were closed. But suddenly Jesus just appeared in the room. And Jesus said to Thomas, come and see my, put your finger in my nail scars, put your hand in my side. And Thomas cried out, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. He suddenly got the revelation that Jesus Christ is alive. Then Jesus said these words, you believe in me because you have seen me. But even more blessed are those who have not seen me, but yet have believed. And Jesus sent his disciples out to preach the message of salvation to all nations. And that more blessing is for you, even though you may never see Jesus with your eyes until we die and our spirit goes to heaven and we stand before God on judgment day and we will all see Jesus on that day. But you are more blessed if you believe now, even though you have not seen Jesus with your eyes, but you have faith and you believe and you have that promise of God and you inherit that reward, that blessing from Jesus Christ that you believe. So I kept encouraging this girl. It says if you believe that, he gives you the right to become a child of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. You know, that's an amazing thing. You know, even a child, let's say the child is rejected by its mother and father, and it grows up maybe in an adopted family, and you know, that child may have a feeling of rejection in her or his heart. But the good news is it's to become a child of God is nothing to do with your human parents. It's not born because of a husband's desire or a human decision. No, it's born of God, and you come to know God as your eternal Father. And it's coming into really being a child of God. I was blessed that God's love was in my family. My father and mother gave their lives to Jesus when they were about 20 years old. And then they met. So God's love was in my family. So I'm blessed to have the love of an earthly mother and father. And that's important. You have to love your child. But even more important than that is to know the love of God the Father. And to have the assurance that you are a child of God. That you know 100% you have that close friendship. So when you pray to God, you know your Father is listening. And he comes running to you because he loves you so much. He's not a father that's too busy that tells his child, oh, don't bother me, I'm doing this work. No, when you cry to your Heavenly Father, he leaves his work, he comes to you. Because you are the child he loves. You are the special child. That's what happens when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have the assurance that God is your Father. Then I also wanted to share with this girl beside the river another one last scripture, which is from Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And it explains the way of salvation very clearly. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now there are two things you have to do to be saved. Number one, you have to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Yes, he died on the cross for your sins, but to conquer the devil, to conquer sin, Jesus had to break that curse of death. The curse of death came when Adam and Eve first sinned. We are all born under that curse. We are dying. But Jesus came to break that curse. So we have to accept that. Yes, Jesus, that is God's provision, God's sacrifice. Yes, Jesus, you died for my sins. You have to make it real. If you've told a lie, if you've stolen something, if you've spoken the bad words, if you've got unforgiveness, whatever sin you have committed, you have to realize that Jesus Christ shed his holy blood for that sin and to rise again to break the devil's power. So you have to believe in your heart, but you also have to confess with your mouth. It's acknowledging who Jesus Christ is, and it's coming into a personal friendship with him and saying, Jesus is Lord. It's saying, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I accept you into my heart. My faith is in you. Yes, Lord Jesus. So I kept encouraging this girl to do that, just to make a simple decision of her heart, to open up her heart and say yes to Jesus. And thankfully, she said yes. So I asked her to repeat these words after me, and I just led her into a prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, save me. And you know, after she finished doing that, I saw that the peace of God had come into her heart. When she first came and sat beside me, I could tell that she was sad. I could tell that she was feeling lonely and having the problems. And even as I was sharing with her, trying to encourage her, there was all those blockages, all those bondages stopping her from having that freedom that God wants to have in our hearts. So then she decided to say yes. So she accepted. And then I could tell something had changed in her heart. Something had changed in her life. Jesus had come into her heart. So now she had the peace of God. So I gave her some small booklets, one of my Bible DVDs. The first scriptures that I read in that same chapter at the very end, it says, the Redeemer will come from Zion to those in Jacob who repent of their sins. So those who repent of their sins, God comes to save them. When you ask God to forgive you of whatever sin you've done, God comes to save you. Then he gives this promise. That is those who repent, humble themselves before God. He says, my spirit who is on you and my words I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or the mouths of your children. Notice that when you repent of your sins, God's blessing comes upon you and God's blessing comes upon your children. That's Isaiah chapter 59. Verse 21. It's a promise for your child. You know, I think you should lay hold of that promise today, because John the Baptist, the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit of God even inside his mother's womb. Obviously, Elizabeth's, John's mother, she repented of her sins. She fully turned her heart to God. And her child was full with the Holy Spirit. Well, the same thing can happen to you, because in these Bible verses, it says that God puts his Spirit on you. He puts his words in your mouth and in the mouths of your children and the mouths of your descendants. The future generations were going to be blessed. So I want you to believe the blessing of God is going to just flow through your life. The blessing of God is going to flow through this special child that you are carrying. It's God's child. It's when you commit this child into God's hands. So I trust that you will believe and accept that promise. The answer is simple. You confess your sins to God. God forgives you. Then he puts his Holy Spirit upon you. So as I said, we then just have to confess with our mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. So I just encourage you just to say that in your heart, even right now. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I receive you into my heart. Jesus, you are my Lord.